there yourselves. We liked his voice so much, we put it in a podcast. It's the Dave Berry Breakfast Show podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Hello, poddlers. Coming up, things get pretty high tech.
Activate the vessel mic.
Activating vessel mic. Enjoy the show.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Well, yesterday, Matt Dyson surprised me and hired me my very own acting coach, Sarah Jane Butler.
Do you know what? I think, you know, this line, now that you're warmed up with your EastEnders and Judi Dench, she got an Oscar for 8 minutes on Shakespeare in Love, so why can't Dave Berry get an Olivier Award for 8 seconds on Only Fools
yes.
and Horses?
Make the line last 8 seconds. In fact, that's my first question to you. How do I maximise my stage time? You know, not that I'm a very hey, look at me kind of guy. Shut up, man. Sarah Jane's new here. I can make my impression for the first time. How can I maximise my stage time? What should I do with the line? Because we were joking around last week about elongating certain words, or will that just make me look like the amateur that frankly I am?
Well, you know what? I heard this is an Italian waiter. He's putting on an Italian accent. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are big, round sounds. So I think you can really sit in that a little bit.
Okay.
And really enjoy those. I mean, every good actor does a warm-up. Like every athlete has to warm up before a race. So, I mean, maybe we can look at that now.
Okay, so what kind of warm-up techniques do I need then, Sarah Jane?
Well, you know, particularly for an Italian accent, Italians hit every single sound in the word, so they don't just say mamma mia, they say mamma mia. An Italian accent has to have a nice, relaxed jaw. Yeah. So if you clasp your hands together like this, so you're mm-hmm. just linking them together, and you're going to shake them and shake your jaw at the same time, Ooh. And it's going to look a little bit like this, Dave.
I'm gonna take my spectacles off for this.
That's beautiful.
Are you enjoying this, Matt?
Yeah, this is everything I hope.
It's lovely. And, you know, I think with that relaxed jaw, with that relaxed face, you can make a big difference, but you really need to get your breath going.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if you
take a few little breaths to the palm of your hand, just here. Very good. And that sends a little message to your brain to relax, which is also... So double hit. And now
I'm feeling far from relaxed right now, Sarah Jane. I'm not going to lie.
We've got you. Okay. If you pick a point across the room right now,
yeah.
I just want you to send a hey to that. Just really, just say hey at the light over there.
Hey!
Great! And now over to another point.
Hey!
Fantastic. Oh. All right, so look, you're really projecting. You're really starting to send that sound out, which is great.
Okay, thanks, Sarah Jane. Do you think I need to go big on it? How shall I do it?
I think with any accent, you know, we're not talking, you know, Only Fools and Horses isn't some gritty mumblecore drama, you know. We've got the great John Gielgud said, style is knowing what show you're in. And I think, you know, this is Only Fools and Horses. We've got license to really lean into it. So the Italian accent, whether you know this is a real Italian accent for your character or not, we don't maybe know.
Mm.
But it's a bit like the rolling hills of Tuscany. I want you to think of it like that. So you're going to really find all of the shapes and all of the sounds of it right now. Maybe let's just go too far. Let's go even too big. I want you to think that you're like an opera singer, and I want you to almost opera sing the line
I love what you're saying, and I'm fully on board with this. I think you're getting that from me, but I also don't want to get cancelled. I don't want to offend anyone listening to this.
This is just license. We're going to go too far, and then we're going to rein it back, because we know that this isn't naturally perhaps what an Italian truly sounds like, but this is perhaps what your waiter thinks and believes an Italian sounds like.
Okay. Shut up, Matt. You're really putting me off. I knew this should have been a one-on-one session.
Signor Duval! Mr. Duval! Transatlantico call for you, Mr. Duval!
I think that's it.
So, Jane, you look visibly shaken by this.
And
you work with Robert Downey Jr. on Dr. Doolittle.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Now, Wednesday was traditionally the day here on The Breakfast Show that we ask whether you need to hand in the cool badge. And for myriad reasons, we've not had a big cool badge moment on the show in some time. Well, that changes today. Later on, just after 8, I want to know if you or someone you know needs to hand in that cool badge. Have you said or done something seriously uncool? And team, I'm speaking to you as well. Mm. You've got about 4 weeks' worth of backlog catalogue of cool badge to hand in here. The number for you guys out there is 8-12-15. And the reason that I am bringing it back today is yesterday, before my very eyes, one of the producers did one of did something so uncool that it kept me awake at night. I had to tell this person, like, never tell anyone this happened, but I've decided I'm going to fess all up just after 8 o'clock, and if you want to hand in the badge, it's 8-12-15. But right now, well, as always, it's your chance to stick it to the bin man, and you need to listen to a clip from yesterday's show when our very own Matt Dyson made an appearance on BBC Radio Nottingham on their breakfast show. And in what can only be described as 1990s-esque wacky breakfast show shenanigans, we asked Matt to try and crowbar in a couple of choice words into the interview to see if he could get away with it. And he did, but the question is, what were those words?
It's just me, Paul McCartney and my producer in the hotel with him.
Did Sarah react at all?
Matt and Island.
Oh, that's even worse, isn't it?
That must just be his quirky nickname.
Yeah, but you just have the sort of personality of someone who calls everyone.
You know,
yeah.
Like the Hype Beats Womble over there, our producer.
You wack. So, effectively, what was the name of Matt's fictional producer? What was the name of Matt's fictional producer? Time for somebody to stick it to the bin man, and that person is Keith. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Dave. Morning, team. How are we?
Very good.
Hello.
Keith, you're a national treasure, because right now, in these hot temperatures, you're delivering beer, loads and loads of beer.
I am indeed.
What type? What brand are we going for? What's on the way?
We're going for Badger Beer. It's Tanglefoot. If you see a black lorry, big black lorry, Tanglefoot written all over it, go around Twickenham any minute, you'll see us.
Right. Well, if you're in the Twickenham area and you see a Tanglefoot on your road, give a wave. It's Keith. Keith, it is time for your chance to stick it to the bin man. So we tasked Matt Dyson with crowbarring in the name of a fictional producer into his interview with BBC Radio Nottingham yesterday. What was the name of the producer?
Senor Duval.
Oh, yes, it was. With a bit of an accent.
Should have done the accent. You're right.
Hey, listen, I'm doing...
More Manuel than anything else.
that's my fear. Do you want to do the whole line for us? Do you want to have a little go a bit more?
I can have a go if you like.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go on, then.
It's Senor
Duval. Senor Duval. Transatlantic call for Senor Duval.
Oh, it's close enough.
Yeah,
close enough. Not bad. I was going to give you the line, but you're just impro. I love that about you, Keith.
Often enough, Dave.
Honestly, Dave, I think the audience are going to say it in unison with you. Yeah. Everyone knows the line now.
A couple of people tweeted me that. It could be happening. Keith, listen.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the bin sticker. Well done. Lovely. We'll send it out to you. Lovely having you on the show. Continued success with all of your important deliveries.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Matt Dyson, this music means it's time for the social ammunition.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, as you know, Dave, we are first for bin news on this show. All
100%.
Types of bins, all the big binfluencers are on our watch list. And the first, we have a story that's a bit like something from Eurotrash in the 90s. It's literally Eurotrash because there are now bins that talk in Sweden. They're quite racy bins as well. In Malmo. The local council have installed rubbish bins like that you'd see in the street that respond when you put rubbish in them with racy audio messages. And they hope that this will encourage people to use them more and to cut down on litter and get more people to deposit their rubbish in the bins.
Okay.
Do you want to hear the,
yes,
the saucy
please.
Bins?
Yes, I do.
These are an example of some of the audio messages that you hear. I'll try and translate for you as we go.
A little more next time.
That was crazy good. That's just more. Come back quickly and do that again. Put rubbish in the bin, yeah. Yes.
It's so mad, like, so of all the things for them to be enthusiastic about, it just makes the bin look really weird. If you get, if you're like, more, and you're like, more dog poo? What? Yeah. Why? What?
I can't get any more, yeah. Bring more with me. It's such a weird idea, isn't it? It yeah. almost puts me off using the bin. I can find another bin. This is just bizarre.
It's put me off doing this feature, watching you translate those, to be quite frank with you, Matt.
They lost all the sauciness, didn't they?
I tell you what, the new Swedish bathrooms are so much worse. They're the worst.
IKEA certainly don't stock those. Yeah. And from bins that talk dirty to Mr. Whippy in a traffic jam, there's a picture that's been put on Reddit last night of a traffic jam, right, in Yorkshire. It was on the M62 the other day, right? A massive traffic jam with huge tailbacks, like 7 mile tailbacks. So much so the traffic's at a standstill. People are stuck in their cars for hours. And it was a really hot day. And as part of the tailback, there was an ice cream van.
Right.
And the owner of the ice cream van took this opportunity to think, yeah, I might as well get the engine quid. Running, might as well fire up the whippy machine and start. And he obviously put his chimes on and started selling ice cream to people in the traffic.
I've never seen an ice cream van on the motorway.
No,
yes.
Yeah, they're 62,
you
say.
You haven't lived.
It's been rare that you spot them. But yeah, so people got out of their cars and started queuing up at the Mr. Whippy van to get ice cream. As quite a few Redditors pointed out, walking on the motorway is an offence under Section 4, paragraph 8 of the Highway Code. So what they were doing was illegal, but quite a nice
thing. I would have been there in a shot. I would have got Mr. Whiplash. I would have been there so fast.
Sorry.
So there you go. You'll be talking about those stories later, and I may have saved you some data.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Hit it, Matt.
It's not me singing, I just like to point
first the social ammo. Yeah, I'm not the ferryman. We've heard it all before, mate. We've heard it all before. All right, it is time for bandograms. I have taken a band, put it through an anagram generator. You need to rearrange the letters and tell me which band it is. And today's band, well, we play them on Absolute Radio. We also play them on Absolute Radio 90s. They get played on noughties. They get played on tens. So basically, they're big for us. Mm-hmm. And your bandogram is... I'll give you two today.
Okay.
You've got Posher Section. Oh, can you hear the typing? I love it. Yeah. Or you've got Insert Pooches.
Insert Pooches.
Yeah, which is a good name for a podcast, I think. Posher Section, Insert Pooches. You all seem to struggle with this one for a little while.
Mm. Yeah.
It's one of the punchiest we've had on bandograms. Did you manage to figure it out? Glenn, let me ask you this morning.
Yeah, it took a while. I think it's tricky because it's not like a real word. Do you know what I mean? It feels that made it a bit trickier.
What have you gone for?
I've gone for Stereophonics.
Correct! Well done, Glenn. I know the rest of the team got it as well. As did, and here come the shout-outs. Jan getting ready to work in a primary school. Justin from Cambridge driving to Milton Keynes. Steph Fox, the Stereophonics superfan. Sue at the gym in Derby. Big Bruce at Bentley. Kyle fitting the vending machines at the RAH Hospital in Paisley. Pedro on the Isle of Wight doing engineering bits and bobs. Rachel getting ready to go to work in the hot and sweaty Salvation Army charity shop in Tewkesbury. Adam on the way to work in Kendal. Scott from Perth working in the sun. Mark the Spark in Sheffield Children's Hospital changing the light fittings. Ruth driving to work to teach sweaty teenagers all day. Running a bit late has found a spider web in my car. And I'm now wondering where the spider is.
Oh, unsettling that.
Thank you, everyone. Well done. It was the Stereophonics, and bandograms will return tomorrow morning.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
10 weeks of tickets keeps on trucking. And this week, it's your chance to see the Eagles live in London as one of the great radio features returns. As Glenn pointed out yesterday, lovely of the Eagles to record that just for the breakfast show.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, guys. So, Matt Dyson, how does Take It to the Limit work?
Well, you should know the rules by now, really. In front of me, I have one
That's
vessel.
Not the spirit, is it? Hey, listeners, why don't you do more for us? We did this 24 hours ago. Come on, guys.
I have one vessel of undetermined size here and another of undetermined size there, which is empty.
Oh, I wish we could determine the size.
I know, sorry, we can't.
It just makes the game so damn tough.
It is very tough. So, yeah, I fill up one vessel with liquid from the other vessel, and the higher up you get, the better you do. So if you go over the rim, you're out.
Yeah.
So you have to rim it to win it. Hashtag rim it to win it.
Are you sure you know how this works?
Yeah. So there you go. Does that make sense to you
all
now?
No, it makes no sense. Yeah. And you're going to have to do this again tomorrow, just to let you know. And joining us right now on line one is Julie. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, team. Good morning, Dave.
Morning.
Hello, hello. Julie. Welcome to the show. On line two is Gary. Hello, Gary.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Morning,
hi, Gary. Gary, great having you on. Julie, this is Gary. Gary, this is Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Good morning, Gary.
Okay. Julie and Gary, they sound like the couple you meet on holiday, don't they? We must stay in touch on Facebook. We must.
We will meet up back home, yeah.
Okay, here we go, guys. It is time to play Take It to the Limit. Matt Dyson has a vessel of undetermined size in front of him. He will fill it with water from another vessel of undetermined size. All you need to do is shout, stop! When you think you are near the rim of the vessel, you must hashtag rim it to win it. The contestant who gets the closest to the rim will win, but if you penetrate the rim and spill, you automatically lose. Good luck to you both. Julie, you're going to be going first as you were selected first.
Thank
Matt,
you.
It is time for you to enter the aqua zone.
Okay. I am in the aqua zone, the zone of agua. I am ready. I have my vessels of undetermined size. So, Dave, if you will, activate the vessel mic.
Activating vessel mic. Vessel mic activated.
I didn't make that noise before. Stop. Wow, things are really moving forwards, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, hang on, it's the Radio Academy again. Another gold award? You're joking.
We've had that vessel mic for ages. We've just never had any reason to use it.
Yeah.
Every studio comes with one.
Yeah. In fact, I might just put it back for a second, just for the novelty.
Oh,
look at that. Lovely stuff. Okay. Julie, where were we? Oh, yes, you want to see the Eagles. Of course you do. OK, basically, you're going to hear Matt pour some water into a jar. Just shout, stop.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt.
OK, let's commence the pouring.
Stop. Stop.
OK, we got you. We got you. We got you, Julie. We got you. We're marking you off. Stay right there.
Reload.
OK. Reload. Activate the Sharpie to mark off the glass.
Yes.
Okay, Gary, you are in play. Just shout stop. Okay, take it away, Matthew. Here we go.
Stop.
Oh!
Oh my God. Closest we've been to the rim all
it's
week.
It's perfect! Oh, wow. Gary, you've won the tickets to see the Eagles on 10 weeks of tickets.
Thank you very much.
Wow, Julie, listen, great having you on the show, and trust me, you were close. Wow. But can we photograph this just so we've got evidence? Because I can't believe.
That's perfect. That's a perfect pint. There's no head on that at all. It's got all the way to the top.
It's got a clover in the top. Well done, Gary.
Thank you.
Look at that. Wow.
Oh, God.
Amazing. Okay. Take Gary off of line two.
So exciting.
It is exciting, isn't it? Guys? Matt Dyson, you're the first person to share a picture of the vessel of undetermined size on your socials. Mm. What's your Twitter handle?
At Real Dysonator. Someone's already put hashtag accidental partridge on my rim it to win it post.
100%. I mean, Jenny says she's concerned as why we have so much electrical equipment near this water.
Yes, yeah. I mean, there are paper towels underneath it, though.
And Adam says, after that reaction to someone filling a glass with water, you definitely need to hand in the cool badge. Yes, thank you, Adam. It is cool badge day today. Yes, it is back if you or someone you know has said or done something seriously uncool. And the reason I have decided to bring it back is because of producer Dave, who is absent today. Because after his actions yesterday, we said, take the day off, mate.
Hang in his head.
Go and have a little think about what you've done. No, he's off to Glastonbury. But yesterday morning, Fleur East, superstar, singer, influencer, broadcaster, TikToker, an all-round lovely human being who just so happens to be our next-door neighbour, studio-wise. Hey, Fleur. She's in there now. She knocked on the studio window really politely, and she was holding a bottle of super malt, which needs a bottle opener. And she was doing the universal mime for "Have you got a bottle opener?" I then went straight to the kind of teeth mime, like I was going to do that. I kind of beckoned Fleur in, and she comes into the studio, and I'm thinking, I'll take the bottle, and what I'll do is I'll find a part of the studio that I can do the classic on the edge of the table trick.
Yes. Yeah.
But then I look around our state-of-the-art studio, and there's not many places you can open a bottle where the boss isn't going to go, "Oh, no!" I was looking around, and I thought, oh, what I'll do is I'll do it on the bottom of the stall there. You see the stall that's in the corner.
That's good. It's because that room's got no corners.
No.
It's like a padded cell. It's really difficult to just... You can't open it. Yeah. Stall's a great show.
You can't injure yourself in here or open a bottle of Super Malt.
Swings and roundabouts.
So I thought I'll go to the bottom of the stall because it's just this kind of metal pole and, you know, no one will see it down there and it won't damage any of, you know, the property and everything else. By the time I'm thinking this through and, you know, about to become the Super Malt bottle opening hero that I believe I am... Yes. Producer Dave has, and it's not his first appearance on it.
No, he did.
In front of
Flash.
He did, Glenn, yeah. He'd already reached into his pocket and pulled out his Swiss Army knife that he carries with him at all times.
On his key ring, he's got a Swiss
He's going to get turned away from the gates of Glastonbury, hasn't he? I don't want to let him in.
It's what he deserves. He's got the Swiss Champ Double XL.
Yeah, it's a beast, that is.
It's got 64 different tools on it.
I can't even name 64 things.
What, one of them, Glenn, I kid you not, one of them is a fish scaler.
Yeah.
It's like you work in Soho in media. Yeah. Why do you need a fish scaler?
He has used it, though. He does use it from time to time, doesn't he? I think he unscrewed some compartments, put batteries in.
He changed the batteries. He used it to open the box with the Nicolas Cage masks in it.
Yeah, that's it.
But that's all within the confines of the studio.
Yes.
Right? Not in front of Fleur East.
Yeah, no.
So I said to Fleur before she left with her now open bottle of Super Malt, I said, please don't tell anyone about this. Because this reflects badly on the entire show.
Yes.
It's like people looking through the window, us going, like, one of those people in there has got a Swiss Army knife with 64 different tools on it, including a fish scaler. Anyway, producer Dave has very much handed in the cool badge. Listener Catherine wants us all to know that she has no shame in the fact she started using a shoehorn. But she also wants us to take the badge.
Yeah.
Depends how long it is.
Yeah.
The length of the shoehorn dictates how much of the badge you must hand in. Anna, do you want to hand in the badge? It's been a long while.
It has been a while. I'm going to hand it in on behalf of my dad today.
Oh, because you've been so cool for the last 4 weeks. Let's pick on Papa Bear, shall we?
Well, Father's Day has been gone, so I'm going to take this opportunity.
Yeah, another punishment begins. You get one day, and then the rest of the year is hell.
Exactly. So I went to see Noel Gallagher with him last Thursday.
Oh, lovely.
In Cheshire, in a very muddy field, Delamere Forest, and he wore very smart blue suede shoes for the occasion.
Oh, did he?
In the woods.
Only man not wearing trainers at an old Gallagher gig.
Blue suede shoes gig outside is a bold move. Carrying a long shoehorn with him the entire gig as well, that's the worst thing. Do you want to do a shout out to your dad? Because I know that you haven't done one in a long while.
I haven't. He's Mike Geary, the best dad in the world.
Hello, Mike. There's your shout out. Glenn, what about you? Are you badge worthy?
Yeah, I've had my call badge removed from me by a friend.
Okay.
Who it ruins my life at every turn, because my friend's sense of humour, his entire sense of humour, is just making up really mundane lies about people, which when you then go, "What? No, I don't," then it just makes you look really defensive, and it makes you look... And so he's... You know, back in the day when people used to hijack each other's Facebook accounts and you'd write really deeply inappropriate stuff? He would just, using your account, he would just write really limp compliments on other people's photos. So under my name, it would just be stuff like, "You look like you're having a very good time here." And you just go, that's so much more damaging. And so what happened was, this guy, Shalil, I hope you're listening, we were at a friend's engagement party a couple of weeks ago. And the girl who's getting engaged, her sister handed around this big cardboard heart, and she was like, "Hi, can you sign something for me?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And she was like, "We're getting everyone to sign this heart to give their well wishes to the happy couple." And I was like, "Sure." And as soon as she walked away, Shalil said, "Oh, were you really annoyed because she didn't? You thought she was going to ask for your autograph?" And she didn't. And I was like, "Well, no, obviously not." And it was all fine. But then 5 minutes later, this girl came over to me and said, "Apparently, I owe you an apology."
Oh,
and
I watched
it. Yeah, your friend told me you're really upset because you're expecting an autograph. And she said, I can take your autograph if you want." I said, No, my God, no. I'm realizing now it's not worth being friends with this guy.
Oh, wow. I can take your autograph if you want.
It was just so tragic. Like, no, it's not
my word. Okay, Glenn has removed the badge. It's over to you guys. Morning, Dave, says Emily. I need to hand in my cool badge. We're going on holiday for a week today. And I said to my partner, in full seriousness, "Oh, no, we're going to miss the best of the Alliums." I am now my nan. Help. Oh, I had to Google what that is. It's a type of flower.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry you're going to miss the best of the Alliums, Emily. I really am. But try and enjoy your holiday the best you can.
We're so cool, we don't even know what Alliums
are. Yeah, that's how cool we are, Em. Handing in my cool badge because I caught myself naming a house plant. That's come from Laurie, and she adds, "P.S. Spike says hi." Spike's a cactus, isn't it, Laurie?
Yes.
Oh, Dave, I was singing the praises of my new shredder. But come on, it does 6 pages all at once. It will even do credit cards. Yeah. My girlfriend's response, whoop-de-doo. Give Dave your badge immediately. And that is from Ben in Derby. Thank you ever so much for being so brave in handing in the cool badge this morning.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
It's your Wednesday morning, and that means there are just 24 hours remaining before I make my West End debut at the Theatre Royal Haymarket in Only Fools and Horses the Musical. And I'm not going to lie, the nerves are building and I need some help. So I've reached out to a, dare I say, fellow member of the cast. Someone who has starred in A Midsummer Night's Dream, The Toxic Avenger the Musical and Nativity the Musical. It's Oscar Conlon Morley. Good morning, Oscar.
Mr. Berry, Mons 2,
my friend. Is that like a tradition? Once you've been in Only Fools and Horses, the musical, you greet one another by saying Mons 2.
That is the only acceptable greeting, Dave. You shall learn this very quickly. And of course, as we leave each other, we have to say, Bonjour.
Yes. Oscar, listen, thank you for taking the time to talk to me because we are just 24 hours away. The nerves are building. What parts do you play in the musical? So when I get there, when we get to meet in person tomorrow, who will you be playing?
Oh, well, it's a joy to talk to you. Thank you for having me. I've never, ever seen this time of day before. We theatre types tend to rise at the crack of noon. So thank you for allowing me a little sunlight. That's delicious.
The crack of noon is a great name for the podcast, by the way, Oscar, so thanks for that. I'm going to ring the bell. So who do you play in the production?
I play 9 different characters.
Wow.
Some of whom were in the original series. So I play the dating agent that sets up Del and Raquel. I play Danny Driscoll, the baddie, of one of the gangster brothers, and a few other little surprises that pop up along the way. I also play this Sid, the cafe owner, I should be playing on Thursday. Tomorrow, love, when you're in with us.
Oscar, the whole reason for this, the reason this came about was I took my dad to see the musical for his birthday. We absolutely loved it. I remember your parts on stage. You were, of course, absolutely amazing. And that was when Paul Whitehouse reached out and we find ourselves here. So, you know, like myself, were you a fan of the TV series growing up? Or we've established you're a very accomplished actor. Did you audition for the role, get the role, and then start to watch a shed load of UK gold?
Well, they said to me, it was quite interesting, they said to me, I wasn't allowed to know what the show was when I auditioned for it. It was all very hush-hush. So they said, would you come in for a South London-based comedy beloved through the 80s, 90s and noughties? And I thought, well, what could that possibly be? So, no, I was a massive fan of the show. It was a staple in my house. So I had a pretty good idea of the characters when I went in. But I remember very clearly the first time I went into audition, My usual theatrical exploits are slightly more dramatic, I should say, rather than comedic. And so I walked in this velvet chemise jacket, smoking jacket, and was ready to give my bard. And Paul Whitehouse walked past me, and I was like, oh, gosh, it's Paul Whitehouse. And he walked into the room and shouted in to the casting director, here, we've got some geezer in a curtain out here.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow. Oh, dear. Oh, no, Oscar, we're going to be wearing the same thing. That's going to be awkward. That was what I was going to be wearing tomorrow when I arrived. Listen, you know, as I say, I'm grateful for your time and I'm going to let you go, but are there any tips? You know, is there anything that I need to... I've got the line, Signor Duval, Mr. Duval, transatlantic call for you, Mr. Duval. I don't plan to deliver it in such a hurried fashion and in such a nonplussed way, but are there any tips you could give me?
I would love to hear it, Dave. Could you give it to me?
Do you know, I've got to keep it under wraps, Oscar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean...
Keep your powder dry.
Okay, as it's you, as we're... As we're both darlings of the theatre.
We are, darling.
Here we go. Signor Duval, Mr. Duval, a transatlantic call for you, Mr. Duval.
OK, Dave, well, listen, don't...
Oh, no, Oscar, no!
No, listen, darling, there's time. There's always time.
Oh, man.
Time. We have the best audiences in the world.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is always electric, as you know. So
I do.
You get to experience it from the other side, and with all that energy concentrated into nearly 1,000 faces staring at you while you do that. It's going to be fabulous.
Oscar, my final thing isn't so much a question, it's more of a plea. Will you look after me?
I shall take you under my bingo wing, darling.
Oscar, thank you so much, man. That's been really informative, really funny, and I can't wait to meet you in person tomorrow. Only Fools and Horses, the musical. Give it up for our brand new friend of the show, Oscar, everyone. Cheers, my man.
Bonjour.
Right now, it is time for Matt Dyson and the Social Ammunition.
Extra, extra, extra.
What we got, Matt?
Blobbyland has been bricked up forever. Sad news today.
so now, much to unpick from just that one sentence.
I don't even know if I remember this happening, but in the 90s, Noel Edmonds was so big, Mr. Blobby was so big, he set up his own theme park called Blobbyland.
Did he? Where was it?
It was near a wildlife park in Somerset. Nice. So they called it Crinkly Bottom, they called it Blobbyland. They had various different names. It only lasted for 2 years and then it was closed down.
Yeah.
So it didn't really work. And there was like a little restaurant called Dunblobbin. Loads of old... It's amazing. There's an article online with all this derelict theme park site, which is now overgrown, covered in woods, trees and woodland all around it. And it's at the entrance to there's a cricket club in Somerset, and people could find a way through a tunnel to get to Blobbyland, and loads of ravers went there and they were like writing graffiti all over it. One piece of graffiti says, Noel Edmonds, stop pretending Deal or No Deal is more than it is.
Which is wow.
Strange piece of graffiti.
Profound. Or a scathing critique of a TV format. I don't know which one it
is. The people at the Cricket St Thomas Leisure Club, where the tunnel was based, are so sick of people going through there that they've bricked up the entrance. So now it's been completely closed off to the public. And we can never go to Blobbyland in any form ever again. So it's quite sad, really, the demise of Blobbyland. We are done blobbing forever because we're never going to go. So there's like loads of like plastic flowers, giant pink mushrooms covered in woodland. Sad times. That's your social ammo action. It's viral, it's trending, it's gaining traction.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show podcast with Wix. Let's do it right. Podcast done. Absolute Radio.